98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Every top story you need to know about, all in one spot every day. We call it the 4 o'clock reset. We run through the top stories of the day. We get our reactions to the top stories of the day, starting with the news that broke late last night at the tail end of our show that St. John's getting the resignation from their head coach Chris Mullen of their men's basketball program. That was confirmed today. He resigned. And according to multiple reports now, their top target is Bobby Hurley, AESU basketball coach.
Yeah, listen, I think that that would be a lateral move for Bobby Hurley. I don't think that St. John's, and I love the program, grew up watching them play and go into their games. I don't think it's a great job. It was in the 80s when they were producing a lot of first-round picks, and they went to the Final Four, and but now, I mean, for the last 20 years, they've been stuck in, neutral. I mean, they're not going anywhere. It's not a – if I'm Bobby, I think that this ASU job is actually more attractive than the St. John's job. I really do believe that.
Fran Fraschilla said the same thing on the Bickley Murata show today.
I think Bobby's got a great job. I think it's a great place to live. The expectations of Sun Devil basketball are not extremely high, and he certainly has met those. They've been a tournament team for a couple of years. You can argue about whether they should be better, but I think it's in a good spot right now. And unless he just feels the need to come home to the New York, New Jersey area, I would counsel him to stay where he is.
This story is getting a lot of traction. According to reports, Magic Johnson and Luke Walton have not spoken in weeks. Typically not a good sign between the decision maker for the Los Angeles Lakers and the head coach.
This is a mess. I'm telling you that Luke Walton does not even have LeBron James's number. That he has to go through Magic to get in touch with LeBron. That LeBron's people are like, Luke Walton, the head coach of the team, does not even have the star player's phone number.
Yeah.
He's got to go through Magic if he has any questions he wants to ask LeBron. It's crazy.
Speaking of college basketball, national championship last night goes to Virginia as they beat Texas Tech in a pretty darn entertaining basketball
game,
given our very low expectations going into that.
Yeah, it was a very good game. Hunter hit some gigantic three-pointers in that game. Keep your eye on him. He'll be a top first-round draft pick out of Virginia. 114 years of basketball for Virginia to get their first national championship. Happy for their coach. He's a great guy.
Diamondbacks open up a brief two-game series against the Texas Rangers tonight. Troy Lovello was on the show earlier today, and he told us there's a reason why Tim LeCastro gets the call.
We've
up.
We've gone through about two or three different scenarios. LeCastro obviously is a very capable outfielder and playing all three spots. I might start to rotate some of the guys that have been playing every day out there, such as Adam Jones and David Peralta, in and out of the lineup. So I think LeCastro being here is gonna help us.
Tell you what's not happening tonight. It's not a Carson Kelly at catcher night because Zach Greinke is on the bump and John Ryan Murphy is handling the catching duties tonight. First game against the Rangers.
Yeah, and I think you'll see a lot. These are younger catchers, Carson Kelly and John Ryan Murphy, so I'm expecting that they'll go through this Alex Avila injury with him on the injury list without bringing up another catcher. I think they'll just go with the two and ride them out.
That game starts at 6:40. You'll hear it on ESPN 6:20 tonight. The Phoenix Suns close out the regular season tonight in Dallas.
Hallelujah.
You'll hear that tip-off here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Who are the Suns playing tonight?
Oh, here we go. I knew this was coming today. I've been looking forward to this all day. The Suns are playing the Dallas Mavericks today.
And what does that mean for the Mavericks?
Bad news for the Mavericks!
Bad news for the Mavericks!
Let's go out strong, boys and girls.
Yeah.
It means a fond farewell for Dirk Nowitzki.
That too.
Let's give him respect.
No, tonight's going to be Dirk Nowitzki night in Dallas, basically, when it's all said
and done. He's going to have one of those Kobe nights. Just give him the ball. Doesn't matter if you win or lose.
Yep.
Give me a point total for Dirk Nowitzki tonight.
Kick that leg out.
Oh, okay, I like this. A point total for Dirk Nowitzki
tonight.
Give
me a point total. Let's see who gets it. If anybody hits it on the head, they get a free lunch. Deal?
Deal. 23.
Jordan?
18.
24, reversing 42. You seem very amused by that. Because 42 ain't happening.
Okay, give me your numbers again.
24.
24.
23.
23.
18.
18.
17 points for Dirk Nowitzki.
All right.
He stinks. He can't play anymore.
I'm going
to
be that.
I don't even give you a game to bowl 40 times. I don't know if he could score
any
points.
You're like that guy on The Price is Right who just bid $1.
Exactly.
In the hopes of getting up on the stage.
It's got to be the exact thing with me in the mock
draft
tracker.
But it's got to be exactly right. It doesn't matter. We're not playing like whoever gets closest. This is okay. If anybody gets it right, they get a free lunch, which, by the way, I'm owed one by you and one by all of you, and I haven't collected on any of them yet.
Yeah.
And Rod owes me a dinner for winning fantasy football, and I haven't gotten jack from winning that.
But our top story of the day today on the Burns and Gambo show.
I make
show.
These bets. I never collect.
Kyler. Oh, and by the way, one last quick thing about the Suns, all right? Let the Igor speculation begin.
Oh, absolutely.
As soon as this game ends, you brought that up earlier. Let the Igor speculation about next year begin.
Kirkoshkov coming back.
It's going to be a major topic on this show and all of our shows tomorrow. There's no doubt about that. But our top story of the day, Kyler Murray's visit with the Arizona Cardinals going down today.
It's going down.
You had reported it yesterday. One of the national NFL writers actually cited you today in tweeting that today was going to be the day because you had reported it was going to be a little later in the week, but it got moved around, and so it's going to be – it was today. And one is going to be kind of curious to see once this is done, sort of now what? Because you and I have both speculated, and that's all really anybody can do about this is speculate, that by the time that visit is done – you're the Cardinals. You're 2 weeks out of the draft. I don't know how many more I's you need to dot and how many T's you need to cross before you know exactly what you're doing in this draft, and you need to start acting on that, right?
Funniest tweet I saw was, Mike Garofalo, who reported that he was coming in today and cited, you know, that I had said that it was that the visit was going to be this week. Some guy wrote, "Wow, I read Kyler Murray headed to Arizona and thought they already drafted him 20 days ago." I kind of laughed. Like,
feels that way, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Like, why are they bringing him in? Isn't he already a member? Do they have a jersey? And like I thought he already bought a house here and everything like that. Yeah, Kyler Murray in for a visit right now. There was some speculation, Adam Schefter, that the agent's visiting with him. That's untrue. The agent is not part of the visit that Kyler Murray is having. He is here. He's here now and visiting. And the agent, although he is in town, he is not part of the visit. He's not going to be in the facility with the Cardinals brass and Kyler Murray and going through chalkboard and tape and stuff like that. Now, he's also Cliff Kingsbury's agent. He could be here to meet with Cliff. He could be here. I got the number one overall pick in the draft. The kid's going to make $33 million. I want to make sure I'm here. That way, if he has any questions, I'm right here. He doesn't have to call me up. I just want to support my guy. But he's not going to be in on the visit. That Cardinals don't meet with agents when they visit with players like that. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, and that when that news got out and then you tweeted out that the agent wasn't going to be a part of the meeting today, I mean, it does kind of lend itself to this perception that if the agent is here, perhaps they're talking contract. One national writer even said, well, you know, they could start, if they wanted to, they could start working on a contract right now with the number one pick. But as you pointed out, there's really no contract to work out unless you're talking about incentives, start incentives, Pro Bowl incentives. All this money is kind of slotted and agreed upon. There's not a ton. There's some negotiating that could be going on, but I think
not enough to make a guy come in 3 weeks early to try to get the ball rolling, because it's pretty much set in stone.
But you can see from the Cardinals' perspective why, you know, everything they can do to delay the rest of the world knowing what they're going to do is something that they want. And what they don't want to do is, oh, yeah, we're meeting with the agent right now and hashing things out, because the minute you do that, and the whole world knows you're taking Kyler Murray, and they don't want the whole world to know that just yet, because there's still a leverage game to be played with Josh Rosen, if that's the road they even go down. I mean, again, we're 2 weeks out. I'm still, throughout this whole process, super crazy intrigued by the Oakland Raiders and their love of Kyler Murray. And if this whole thing was just one giant big
bluff. Let me ask you something. We always say that
by the cards.
We always say that the Patriots, anytime the Patriots want one of your players, you should be awfully concerned because they usually get over on a team. Gruden's done this quarterback thing forever. If he's head over heels for Kyler Murray and he's been the guy with the chalkboard meeting with every quarterback, does that cause you any concern?
No. Not like the
no
Patriots.
Concern at all that None. John Gruden loves Kyler Murray when he has sat in with all of these quarterbacks for the last 10 years.
It's a great question. I'm really glad you asked it. I am definitively in the no camp on that.
Okay.
It does not scare me at all that John Gruden loves himself some Kyler Murray. And the Cardinals would be trading him to John Gruden if that comes to pass. Doesn't scare me at all. Not one bit.
Okay.
You? Does it make you nervous?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I just wanted to bring it up because
he's known as a quarterback type evaluator.
Yeah. Very good one.
We've got the Burns and Gambo podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by National Bank of Arizona. So amidst all the rumors and speculation, Josh Rosen's leadership and work ethic has at times been called into question, probably most of the time unfairly. Today, his Cardinal teammates rallied to his defense. You'll hear what they had to say next on the Burns and Gambo show. Gambo, I require out of you a caller number, please.
Five.
Caller number five on this Ticket Window Tuesday, brought to you by Arizona Central Credit Union. If you're caller number five at 602-260-9870, 602-260-9870. You will score two tickets to see the D-backs take on the Padres on Saturday. It's Archie Bradley Bobble Gnome Night. Not a bobblehead.
Bobble Gnome.
A bobble
this gnome. Saturday, San Diego Padres.
Indeed.
Go get that Bobble Gnome.
And a reminder for you, coming up at 4:45, so less than a half hour from now, we'll be reading off a name to qualify, hopefully, yet another person for a trip to Nashville for the Cardinals on the clock promotion that we're running to send someone to Nashville to watch the Arizona Cardinals in the NFL draft. Be listening at 4:45. If it's your name we call out, you've got about 9 minutes to call. Nine times. You've got 9 minutes to call in and qualify.
Had a winner. Was it yesterday? Had a winner?
Have we had a winner? Have we had somebody not qualify yet? I know Bickley and Murata qualified someone today. I don't know if Doug and Wolf did.
I don't know about that.
Yesterday we were 3-for-3. I don't know if we're 2-for-2 so far today.
Ooh, okay.
We will find that out. If so, we've got a streak better than Chris Davis is going.
Oh man. That poor bastard.
He hit the ball hard yesterday.
Twice?
It's too bad. I mean, it's like 0-for-47. Oh, that poor guy. The demons in his head right now.
Yeah, you know what?
I just can't imagine.
Just look at his contract.
I know. That's funny. He's like, I'm sorry. I can't hear you over all the money I'm making. Yeah. I can't hear you.
Should go 0-for-47.
I'm not 0-for-47 in life. I'll tell you that right now. All right. So today, Kyler Murray in for the visit.
Yes.
The offseason workouts continuing for the Arizona Cardinals. And this just might be how this is going to be. There were players who spoke to the media today. Josh Rosen was not among them.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not either.
Why would he? Why would the Cardinals
today of all days
put him out there when the questions are not going to be about his offseason and what he did and what he thinks about the new offense and the new acquisitions and what is he doing to get ready for a sophomore season and what do you think he has to improve on? And they're not going to ask him about that. They're going to ask him, how do you feel about all the rumors that the Cardinals are going to draft Kyler Murray? Have you heard you're going to be traded? Has your agent told you you're going to be traded? How are you handling this mentally, emotionally? I mean, that's going to be all Kyler Murray. I mean, every question will be about, you know, do you think you're going to get traded? Do you consider not showing up for voluntary camps? It's all going to be stuff that, you know what, they don't need. You don't need this. Don't put him out there. If I was in charge of the Cardinals' media relations, I would not make him available. I wouldn't. And you wouldn't either. You wouldn't either, because there's nothing to gain by it. There's nothing to gain. You know the questions aren't going to be about the voluntary workouts, his offseason, preparing for the new season. It's not going to have anything to do with that.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I can think of to gain by it is if you know for sure you're keeping Josh Rosen, if you know it for a fact, okay, and that he's got nothing to worry about in answering those questions because you're either going to take Nick Bosa number one or you're going to trade the number one pick and Kyler Murray's not going to be on your team, then putting him out there and letting him answer those questions definitively, I'm the quarterback of this team. I'm here. I'm the leader. I'm the guy. I'm not worried about all that stuff. It continues to project that uncertainty over what you're going to do with the first pick, which is what you're trying to achieve if you're the Cardinals, right? you're trying to keep everybody on their toes guessing about what you're going to do.
Including all the other teams that could be interested in trading up for number one.
Right,
I don't want Rosen to give anything away. I don't, because all those other teams are going to try to read into that too.
Sure, but
what's Rosen's body language? What is he saying? And, you know, because I've got to keep them guessing as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, yesterday we talked about this, and I had even said that I'm looking forward to hearing Josh Rosen speak. I want to hear his answers. I want to look at his body language, and I want to see how he's doing with all this. And with him not speaking today, I will admit there's two parts of me on this one. Part talk show host guy still wants to hear him talk because I kind of want to see how he responds to those questions. But kind of the other person in me, the not talk show host guy, thinks it's almost inhumane to make him answer those questions at this point because he's just going to get berated. He's going to get, and he's a big boy. He can handle it. He's making lots of money. He's a quarterback in the NFL. I get it. I don't
take the risk.
I understand all that stuff.
Is there a 2% chance that he may slip and say something?
He might.
Make him look bad or the organization look bad.
But it might.
They're going to ask, have the Cardinals given you any assurances that you're going to be the quarterback? No, they haven't. He's going to get questions like that.
But given everything that's gone down with him the last 3 weeks and how cool, it does seem on one level or another almost inhumane to have him answer all those questions because he is going to get peppered.
That's why they're not.
Peppered. And it just doesn't seem like the cool thing to do until you know. And they don't have to make him available. I don't think.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. But he wasn't available today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you wanted to get it over with and get it out of the way. But yeah, 30 reporters there.
Well, and
they were all waiting to talk to him. They weren't there to talk to Chandler Jones. Okay. They weren't there to talk to Patrick Peterson. They were there to talk to Josh Rosen.
Yeah, and what's funny about it is even though those guys did meet with the media, David Johnson, Buda Baker, Chandler Jones, what they were asked about was in part Josh Rosen. Here's David Johnson.
Oh, yeah, he definitely did. You know, when he did come last year, I did talk, you know, to Sam and to Mike and those guys, and they said that they talked to him all the time, especially when he got the starting job. Mike told me that they're always talking about, you know, the playbooks, what he saw, try to understand a little more, especially since, you know, having to have the change of offensive coordinator last year. Mike told me that he was doing all he could.
So that's David Johnson talking about Rosen putting in the work. Buda Baker says Rosen's a great guy.
He's a great guy. If you can talk to him, him being in the Pac-12, I used to always, you know, talk smack to him, UCLA versus UW. So, I mean, he's that same guy that, you know, he's always been.
Chandler Jones was impressed by him last year.
He ran himself like a quarterback, like any other quarterback would. He was a leader. I was impressed with how he spoke to the huddle. You know, I wasn't in the huddle all the time, but being in practice, you know, you hear what he's saying, and he was good at grabbing everyone's attention. So he was a leader for sure.
So I don't know if we're going to hear from Josh Rosen at all before the draft. I the more I think about it, the more my guess would be no. But then I also know that the Cardinals as an organization have been always very accommodating when it comes to these things.
So maybe they do.
I don't know. I don't think
there's anything to gain by it. I don't think there's anything to gain by it. Unless you're just trying to, you know, show that, hey, we're not hiding him. You know, we're not hiding him.
And that could be simply just that.
We don't want the perception to be that we're hiding him
exactly.
from everybody.
And that's the
so
point.
So we're going to let him talk.
And you made the point for me better than I made it. That's kind of what I was getting to, is that from a perceptual standpoint, you know, putting him out there and let him confidently answer these questions about his role does sort of project this idea of, no, he's the guy. He's the quarterback. We're confident in him, and he's confident in us, and everything's great. And don't you worry about another 31 teams in the NFL. We got this covered. We're good. There is perceptual benefit to him coming out and speaking confidently as if he is the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. I just don't know if it's worth the risk of the questions that he's going to be asked and how those answers are going to be perceived.
Listen, if he doesn't know anything, the chances of him slipping up are minute. They're slim. I mean, if he doesn't really know anything, if they haven't told him anything, but he'll be asked, like, have the Cardinals assured you that you'll be back this year? No, they haven't. Have they, you know, or yes, they have. They've told me that I'm going to be the quarterback here, that they're not going to draft Kyler. Like, you know, he's probably smart enough not to say that if that's what they told him.
Yeah.
Like, if they told him, look, we're not drafting Kyler Murray, we're just playing this game, he's not going to go out there, no, I'm the quarterback here. It's just a game. I'm trying to get as much as they can for Kyler Murray. He's smart enough to not to say that if that's what happened.
The Suns are in the process of hiring a new front office member, but a story from their past is starting to raise some questions, once again, about this organization and some of the decisions they make. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Tuesday edition, Burns and Gambo Show. Let's update our Twitter poll question of the day. Sarah Cazell is standing by with an update on that for us.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Final game of the 2018-19 season for the Phoenix Suns tonight.
Yes. Are we going to miss this season or no?
No, I am not going to
no.
miss this season.
Are we sad to say goodbye?
Sorry, I just got to be honest.
Yeah. Ready to see what happens next. Ready for the draft pick, ready for the free agency, and just ready to turn the corner on what was, it was a miserable season.
It was.
Yeah,
Very disappointing. Yep.
Well, here was our poll question for today on the last day of the Suns season. Who is the team MVP that is not named Devin Booker? And it hasn't changed much from our 2:30 check-in. 64% say it is Kelly Oubre Jr. 23% voted for DeAndre Ayton. 11 for Mikal Bridges and 2 for Rashawn Holmes.
Once again, I'm going to cite my colleague and good friend John Gambadoro when I say this is not debatable. It's Kelly Oubre.
Yes.
It is not. That should be 100% in favor of Kelly Oubre. If it's not Devin Booker, I wouldn't even know who else. Nothing against DeAndre Ayton. He's had a good rookie year. Mikal Bridges had a good rookie year, but Kelly Oubre easily, even though he only played how many games with the Suns? 20-something, 30-something when it was all said and done. If even that, I'd have to look up at the stats.
Well, that was
sure.
Was that a December trade?
Yeah, mid-December.
December 15th. So he was here for a while because that was the December 15th when Ariza was eligible to be traded. So he had all of January, all of February.
40 games.
40 games?
40
okay.
games. It wasn't a trade deadline
12
deal.
Starts.
It was the December deal when Ariza was available.
So tonight, the season ends for the Suns. They're in Dallas. We've already got a little in-house bet, and Gambo's right. I owe him personally a lunch from a lunch bet, and we all owe him lunch for nailing the first mock draft that was going to have Kyler Murray going number one of the Cardinals. But we all have a little in-house bet on how many points Dirk Nowitzki
yes.
is going to score tonight.
And if anybody hits it on the head, then they get a lunch too.
And everybody else gets lunch from everybody else on the show. Tonight, we'll talk about Igor in a moment. Because tonight could very well be the last game for Igor Kokoshkov as coach of the Phoenix Suns.
You know, it's one thing we haven't talked about because they're in the process of making a hire to the front office and just restructuring the front office. And the season's coming to an end, but we have not talked about the future of Igor Kokoshkov. Is this his final game as the head coach? Will they decide to go in a different direction? Will we find out? I would imagine if they do make a decision, it will come rather quickly. I don't think you're going to wait on this much longer because you're going to have the draft coming up and free agency coming up, and you're going to want to make sure you get the interview process rolling to hire a new head coach. But it is quite possible that not only the Cardinals but the Suns will end up with firing a first-year coach. It's possible.
Headlines were made, though, about the coach two coaches ago in Earl Watson and how his time came to an end. We all remember he got fired three games into the season. They were outscored by a total of 93 points in those three games, and he was let go. And that was on the same day as Eric Bledsoe's infamous "I don't want to be here" tweet from the hair salon and all of that. So it all went down on a Sunday. We all remember it very well. Earl Watson gave an interview to the LA Times in which he said he was basically during training camp given a 2-week notice. He was told during training camp that, no, we're going to fire you. We're going to fire you at the start of the season. And, huh? And when I read it yesterday, I'm like, oh, come on. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, right? The
right.
most ridiculous thing that I've right. ever heard I mean, in my life.
Who
does
sports?
That?
That's never happened.
Yeah.
You got 2 weeks and then you've got to go.
I mean, I can understand a 2-week notice in real life, but in sports, 2-week notices never happen.
No.
And they certainly don't happen when you're about to start a season. But then this is an organization that fired their general manager 9 days before the start of the regular season. So who knows? I suppose anything's possible. But then we went back, and there was a great story about this on Bright Side of the Sun, and it talked a lot about kind of what was going on behind the scenes at that time. Bledsoe had 2 years left on his deal. He was represented by Rich Paul.
Right.
He wanted a contract extension. The Suns weren't going to give it to him. Rich Paul also represented Earl Watson at the time, and that might have ruffled some feathers with the Suns, that the same guy who was hounding them for a contract extension for Bledsoe also happened to represent their head coach.
And when
coach.
He didn't get the contract extension for Bledsoe, when he was told no by both the general manager and the owner, he then went on full, well, we got to get this guy traded because if you don't want him, he can't be here. He's got to be traded. We got to go somewhere. Why? So, you know, really tried to push the envelope to get Bledsoe traded.
So did the angst towards the agent bleed over into angst for the head coach who was represented by the same guy?
Very likely, but not to the point where there was ever any written ultimatum that you've got a 2-week notice. There was never anything in writing. That part never happened to where there was ever anything sent out to Earl Watch, and will never be able to produce anything that says, here, I have it in email that I've got 2 weeks. It was never like that. It was very likely that they encouraged him to get rid of his agent or said, hey, we're having a lot of problems with your agent, you know, or something like that. And then Earl took that to heart.
Well,
but there was never a literally like, here you go. It's your written 2-week notice. You're out of here in 2 weeks.
Well, and, you know, get rid of your agent or else ... I know that's been speculated a lot upon. And is that officially a 2-week notice? No, but it's also a very strong edict coming. Get rid of your agent or else ... You know, do I interpret that as a strict 2-week notice, or is that just sort of basically an open-ended threat that I've got to fire my agent if I want to keep my job? I'm going to play audio from you.
Okay. Yes. And I don't remember this.
This is you the day after Earl Watson got fired.
Okay.
You are a guest on the Doug and Wolf show.
Okay. And you found this?
We found this.
Okay.
All right. This is you talking about Earl Watson and the 2-week notice that he may have gotten.
He went in there after one of the losses. I think it was the Clippers loss, and kind of made it an us versus management and ownership type situation where he said, look, they only gave me two weeks to get this thing going. And he kind of like, you know, started, you know, talking about his, you know, he was always philosophical. And I think the players kind of lost him with that.
And then you kind of talked about how Watson almost turned that 2-week kind of ultimatum into sort of an us versus the front office sort of a dynamic.
But then he also told them that, you know, it's us against them. They only gave me 2 weeks. And then when word got back, they were like, wait a second, we never said that you only have 2 weeks. What are you doing? So I think he kind of was trying to create like it's an us against the world mentality. And part of that may have been us against the Suns' own management and ownership.
I mean, a lot of that kind of plays into this theory, right?
Right. Now that you're playing those cuts from a year and a half ago, I now remember them, of course. And that's what I was saying, is that Earl made it. It's us versus management. It's us versus ownership. You know, they're giving me 2 weeks to get this thing turned around. You know, we got to band together. And he kind of tried to separate ownership and management from him and players. Like, we're on one side, they're on the other. We are not on the same team. They want this, so we got to band together. And then they got buried in 3 games. They were minus 92. They were 0-3, and they were minus 92. And they decided to put him out of his misery. I think Ryan McDonough decided to put Earl out of his misery and fire him because it was just, and it wasn't just the fact that they were 0-3. It was that Earl was creating this wedge, trying to create a wedge between the players and then the management / ownership.
Well,
I'm going to create this wedge to where they're the enemy and we're the good guys, but they are the enemy and we have to band together and don't listen to anything they say.
But if Suns management did in fact encourage Earl Watson to get rid of his representation because they weren't happy that it was the same agent they were dealing with Eric Bledsoe, it wasn't just Watson creating a wedge. That's the Suns creating a wedge, right?
Yes, it's very possible that the Suns did go to Earl Watson and say, we're having a lot of problems with your agent. You should get rid of this guy. And maybe they probably encouraged him to get rid of him. They probably explained that this is not a good situation. We're not going to be able to work with this guy with what he's doing to us. I believe that. But we do know that there was never anything from what Earl is saying that was put in writing where they literally said, okay, you've got 2 weeks. Here it is. You're going to book it. So Earl didn't go in knowing that I've got 2 weeks left. He probably created this us against them 2 weeks mantra.
He is rumored to be the top candidate for the opening at St. John's. But if Bobby Hurley turns them down, how soon will it be before he does accept a job somewhere else? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Want to go to Nashville for the NFL draft?
Nashville, Tennessee.
cards on the clock. Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience. Brought to you by Cherish. All natural, 100% cherry juice.
Here we go. Time to qualify somebody for cards on the clock.
Nashville.
Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience. Jacqueline Fessler. Jacqueline Fessler. You have 9 minutes to call 602-260-9870 and claim your 2019 Arizona Cardinals draft hat and your qualifying spot for the trip to Nashville for the NFL draft. If you are Jacqueline Fessler, if you know Jacqueline Fessler, you better get her to call 602-260.
She goes by Jackie. Short.
I'm probably.
Jackie.
602-260.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
8. Let me read the number so she can call.
Oh, okay.
602-260-9870. She probably does go by Jackie. Jacqueline Fessler, 602-260-9870. If Jacqueline Fessler does not call within 9 minutes, we'll open the phone lines. Qualify somebody that way.
Uh-huh.
So, Jacqueline, you've got 9 minutes. 602-260-9870 is the telephone number. You're on the Burns and Gambo Show as we're looking to qualify somebody else to win a trip to Nashville to see the Arizona Cardinals draft. In the meantime, the story came down right at the tail end of our show yesterday, and certainly everybody caught on to it today, and it did come down officially. Chris Mullin did resign as the head coach of the St. John's men's basketball program.
Ooh.
There have been, and Jordan and I were talking about why before the show, there were some reports about how he wanted to hire a particular type of coach, and
well,
he was
and apparently
told no.
The new AD there, the guy who has the ties to Duke, kind of ruffled some feathers because before that, Mullin reported directly to the president. Him and the president were boys, and now he had to report to an AD, and so there was a lot of factors going in.
Okay, so he resigns. John Rothstein over at CBS is the first to report that the school, St. John's, is very interested in Bobby Hurley. Now, what we don't know is whether that's being reciprocated or not. We don't know if Bobby Hurley.
We know Rick Pitino wants the job and wants to bring St. John's to the elite level.
He's already campaigning for the gig, right?
I would bring St. John's. I'm looking at the quote. I'd bring St. John's back to the elite level, is what he said. So, not seen since Louis Carnesecca roamed the sidelines. Pitino grew up in the city, coached the Knicks. He's right away.
Sure.
He wants that job bad.
Well, look, and let's be honest. If you're a certain old school type of NCAA coach, okay, I understand that the facilities aren't very good. I understand the program is not very good, that the conference is not very good. There has got to be still some old school charm to being the head basketball coach of St. John's. It's
nostalgic to a lot of the older coaches.
Sure.
Like Rick Pitino, 66. So Rick Pitino, those older coaches are nostalgic to what once was a great program.
No doubt.
Lapchick, Carnesecca. But those guys from Mahoney to Norm Roberts to Jarvis Lavin. I mean, it's been really bad for a long time. So a younger coach has no idea about the nostalgia, no idea about the greatness, no idea about what basketball was like in the Big East in the early 80s for St. John's and how great that program was. So I think it is different. I think a guy like Pitino at 66 looks at that and like, oh man, they were once unbelievable. I can get them back to what they were. A lot of the younger coaches don't even realize that they were once a great program.
No, but Bobby Hurley might be in a different category because he grew up around that program.
Yes.
Being a Jersey City guy, he remembers the glory days of St. John's. Look, we're the buyout is $3 million.
It is a $3 million buyout, which is a big buyout.
And then you're going to have to pay him, but it is a private university, so the ability to pay Bobby Hurley, it's easier, right?
That's an advantage for them being private. He is getting paid. See, here's the difference. ASU is much different than it was even 2, 3, 4 years ago. They're paying their assistant coaches better.
Yep.
They're paying their head coach better. They're chartering flights. They're getting crowds. This all wasn't happening years ago. They never chartered flights before. Now they charter flights. Now they don't charter to L.A. and they don't charter to Tucson, but all the other Pac-12 games, they charter to Oregon, they charter to Washington State, they charter to Cal, they charter these flights. So they're chartering. They're also drawing bigger crowds, which they didn't get before. And they're also paying their coach a lot of money. I mean, it's $2.2 million for Bobby Hurley. He's the fifth highest paid coach, I believe, in the Pac-12. So it's not like he's the 10th highest paid coach or the 11th. He's the fifth highest paid coach. So they're pay. So if you're St. John's, you've got to pay a $3 million buyout, and then you've got to at least offer him $3 million a year.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's $6 million to get him in the first year.
Yeah, no, it's just a question of whether the job appealed. He's got it good here. It's just, and we know
got
he's
got a sophomore in high school.
We know he's going to leave one of these days. All right, you're naive if you don't think at some point Bobby Hurley is going to, if he continues to have success here, he will leave. I never would have thought it would have been for St. John's. That program just doesn't seem, it just doesn't, you said this yesterday, and I agree. It just doesn't seem like a big enough step up, if it's even a step up at all, to warrant moving your family all the way across the country for that gig. I just don't know if it's that good
of
a job.
It's a lateral move, but you could make the argument that if you projected forward, that ASU is actually in a better spot than St. John's. You might look at that as a lateral move. But I could project that ASU's in a better spot. Now, the Big East is a better...
Tell me a reason why. Why is...
Because of what Bobby has built over these last couple of years.
Okay.
Because of where they're going. Because they're paying assistants and they're paying head coaches.
For all the reasons
you
just
said. And
because
they're chartering and because they're getting good crowds and because they're starting to build something.
Yeah.
So why would you want to start over again and try to rebuild a program after you've got a little... You've got a head start now. You've got a few years of equity built into... building a program.
I think of two things when I hear you say that. Number one, I wonder if there's concern about the Pac-12 conference. Let's be honest.
The Big East is a better conference for basketball. It's a better conference.
The ASU was the second, by far, was the second best team in a Power 5 conference, and they barely got
it.
The
Big East is better, and it's got a better television contract as well.
Okay, so there's that. Then there's, and this is what we do, that we know. Okay, here's what we don't know. It's quite possible that Bobby Hurley... You said it earlier, that sense of nostalgia. Maybe he grew up and he just wanted to be the head basketball coach of St. John's. Now, people outgrow that. I agree with you. You said that earlier.
You do.
Your childhood dreams, eventually after a while, you realize. But I don't know how much power that job in particular has over Bobby Hurley. Maybe it has quite a bit, given his ties to that part of the country.
If it was Syracuse... and replacing Jim Boeheim. Okay. Syracuse, big time program, won a national championship. You know, you can make, you know, with Carmelo, a long history and tradition, you can make an argument that Syracuse might be something to lure him away. Syracuse is upstate New York, so it's not as close to
Jersey.
It's
not the city, right?
The thing about Queens is, I mean, you're in Jersey in 40 minutes. You know, you just go over the bridge and you're there. You're not that far away from home. So if home is important to him, then that's a factor. It is a factor. I mean, the benefit is it's a private school. The negative, when we talk about facilities, the real negative with if anybody knows anything about Queens, there's nowhere to build in Queens. There's not, everything's been built. There's no plots of land. There's no, you can't expand. This isn't like GCU or even ASU where you could get this. I could get that land. I can get that land. I could always keep expanding.
Yeah.
Man, St. John's, they're kind of screwed. There's nowhere, like, I've been there. There's nowhere to build.
Jacqueline Fessler, by the way, you have about a minute left to call.
Jacqueline Fessler.
602-260-9870.
Jackie, what are we doing here?
Jacqueline Fessler, you have about a minute left
to call. You don't want to go to Nashville?
602-260-9870. Here's Fran Fraschilla. He was on Bickley and Murata earlier today. He agrees that Hurley just has it better at ASU right now.
I think Bobby's got a great job. I think it's a great place to live. The expectations of Sun Devil basketball are not extremely high, and he certainly has met those. You know, they've been a tournament team for a couple of years. You can argue about whether they should be better, but I think it's in a good spot right now. And unless he just feels the need to come home to the New York, New Jersey area, you know, I would counsel him to stay where he is.
I would counsel him to stay where he is. We'll see.
I would too. I would too. And honestly, like, I mean, if you're St. John's, hey, listen, there is, and I know he's 66 and he's had some problems, but you might be able to strike gold with Rick Pitino there. Like, you might be able to, like, Pitino might be, it's a wild card, but it might be worth the risk, even at 66, for him to go give you 4 or 5 good years.
All right, are we doing this? We're doing this.
We're doing it.
We're going to hit the reset button, zero out all the lines, caller number 9 at 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. Since we did not hear from Jacqueline Fessler, we will instead take caller number 9, and you will be registered for a trip to go see the Cardinals draft, the NFL draft in Nashville in late April.
Somebody's going.
Someone's going to win,
it's not
right?
Me. So it's, I'd like to go to Nashville.
Same.
Yeah.
Like I would.
Fun. All right. So caller number 9, 602-260-9870. They both might have been in the building at the same time for all we know today. What's the latest surrounding Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen, and how is the rest of that Cardinals roster handling that? We'll talk about it coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.